also a lot of emphasis on additional implementing agents. For example, last financial year, we have also appointed the Development Bank of Southern Africa to assist us with the infrastructure plan. But we obviously, in terms of our allocations that was made this financial year, we have allocated funds to Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. We've also allocated money to the IDT, the Development Bank, but we've also allocated funding for in-house projects where there's a lot of emphasis on inmate labor and in-house capabilities, especially when it comes to maintenance processes. And the Commission already indicated, for example, one of those initiatives where we're busy building tower posts and also to upgrade tower posts. And there's a lot of emphasis on own resources in achieving some of those maintenance projects. Then, Chair, in terms of our construction, the first leg is the transformation of prisons into correctional centers. Currently, we have, and I'm not going to deal with the successes of previous years, we know that Zanin, Standerton, and there was other correctional centers that was finalized during this administration. I'm not going to go into detail on those. But currently, we have various construction projects in execution. For example, we're busy constructing a new correctional center at Parys. That project is about 85% completed, and it will provide additional 240 bed spaces. Then even in Gauteng, we're busy with a major repair and upgrade project at Mthonjeni Youth Center that we're going to regain 640 bed spaces. And those two projects, the Parys and Mthonjeni projects, is scheduled for completion this financial year. Chair, and I think what's also worth noting is that one of our correctional centers that was closed in KZN, Umzimkulu, that project has been finalized, and we're just busy with the final preparations to commission that facility and put it in operation again. So that is also one of the successes that we've achieved last financial year, but we're just busy with the final snagging and to operationalize that facility. But that is also one of the facilities that was finalized last financial year. Then, Chair, I think what's also worth noting is in terms of our first leg, the construction of correctional centers, we have finalized the design for Burgersdorp, and we've done the site handover to the appointed contractor during the month of April. So within the next month, we're going to start with that construction. So all the processes has been finalized, and we're very optimistic that that project will be executed within time and within the allocated budget. But that is one of the projects that will go into construction within the next 30 days. Then, Chair, there was a question regarding Zanin and also Grootvlei in terms of integrated security systems with special emphasis on cameras. There was also reference made to pneumatic automated doors that's not fully operational. Chair, that is also one of the reasons that prompted us to diversify this procurement strategy, and we have appointed additional implementing agents. So in terms of our integrated security systems, we have allocated an amount of 169 million for this current financial year to upgrade these security systems, but also where we need to do routine maintenance on some of the systems. A reference was made, for example, Zanin, it's a new correctional center. But due to the fact that Public Works haven't implemented maintenance contracts after the construction has been finalized, we sit with a situation that system is partially dysfunctional with some of the sliding doors that's not operational. But we've already allocated money. We're in an advanced process to go out on tender again to appoint a contractor to do maintenance. But Zanin is only one of those centers that we're going to prioritize this financial year. We have about 29 correctional centers. Or 21 correctional centers, with integrated security systems, and we've prioritized all of them, so we're at the advanced stage to go out and implement another contract. The same apply with Grootvlei as well, where the cameras is dysfunctional. The real challenge at Grootvlei, and I'm not going to go into technical detail, the system that was installed is outmoded, it's still analog systems, so we sit with that backlog that we need to migrate from analog to digital as well. So, Chair, I think that is a nutshell. I'm not sure if I answered all the questions, but from my side, I think I've responded to most of the questions. So I'm going to pause at this stage. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Before you proceed, members might be kicked out again, I think for good now, because I've used all my cards a bit. Should I be kicked out, I would request that you elect a chairperson and finalize these proceedings. My bet is now at 20%, so I think in the next 20 minutes I might be kicked out. So please note that if I'm kicked out, it's not because I would have run away. There is this particular problem. We were informed that the next load shedding would be at 2, but there is another load shedding that has just kicked in again an hour ago. Thank you very much, Commissioner. Oh, maybe before Commissioner, before you proceed, Commissioner, it's something that I think Chair of the subcommittee, I think we need to finalize. Maybe we can start with it on Friday before you proceed with other matters of the subcommittee. I think we need to finalize the regional commissioner of KZN issue. Agently, I think we need to finalize it by Friday so that our position as the committee is known and is communicated to the department. Members have been bombarded by calls and emails and WhatsApp and telegraphs from a lot of people regarding this issue, so we need to finalize it agently. So I would suggest, Chair, that maybe on Friday we start with it before you proceed with the other matters of the subcommittee. Would that be in order as Chair of the subcommittee?
Yes, Chair.
Thank you very much. You can proceed on International Commissioner.
Yes, thank you, Honorable Chairperson. We will take responses from the Deputy Commissioner responsible for finance, DC Marega.
Thank you, Acting Commissioner. Honorable Chair, I will start with the budget allocation for program rehabilitation. As indicated when you presented, Honorable Chair, if you look at the overall budget of the department, there isn't any real that's why we're talking of just a percentage, and that percentage maybe is influenced by the 650 million that is exclusively for the non-cash allowance to manage. But consciously, the department, when faced with this negative growth, especially under COE, but for program rehabilitation, it's one program that the average growth is at 7%, whilst in incarceration is sitting at less than 7%. And again, it is a program where the deliverance is more of the intervention and the policy direction of the self-sufficiency. And when we increase the funding by about 93 over 92 NGF, whilst in other budget programs, increasing the numbers, but overall, as indicated when we presented, the overall funding establishment, if you look at the COE ceiling of the department, is climbing over the NGF, but consciously, the program rehabilitation funds, we don't know the policy imperatives that we need to minister through in terms of the white paper and ensuring that we can have the decision at the center of what we do as a department to ensure that we actually integration of our offenders into the society. But within the limited resources check, we have reprioritized whatever available resources from other lesser priorities to food and food. And we indicated also that we've increased the capital investment for the self-sufficiency to a tune of about 54 million over this particular MTF. so that we can improve the physical infrastructure in our farms and also in our production also. And when we do so, change, then we will be able to increase the target of rehabilitation, especially with the skills development. That's why we're not only looking at the food as far when it comes to the training of offenders and skilling of offenders. We also look at other resources that we can get outside our homework application that indicated that we have the material agreement to the Department of Higher Education and training or the National Skills Fund and also the SASITA where they also assist us in terms of some training to our offenders and also in terms of training of officials. And in especially the integration, yes, honorable chair, if you look at the it has got a negative average growth over the MTF, and mainly that negative average growth is under the compensation of employees because there is a decrease in the number of family establishments over the MTF for social integration, as we indicated that we had them to remove because in the previous financial year, we kind of a little bit compromised the rehabilitation and some more resources to social integration, and if we look then at even the immediate financial year that has passed our extracted bonus under OE, there is an under expenditure in that particular program. So informed by the extracted bonus, also we will get the department and we prioritize the resources because we're not getting any additional resources. So whatever we're doing, we need to be looking at whatever is in the baseline allocated to the department. And when it comes to communication, it is not communication as what we would call an objective or a component like a communicator in the department. We're looking at the line item there as the main interest driving the communication expenditure in the department is the increase in our a usage of virtual platforms to hold our internal meetings, including the external meetings and other meetings that we can't hold in the cluster, mostly they are virtual, and also trailer meetings, they are now only virtual. So basically, there are some more resources there, because in the past, we were more physical meetings, and that then would contributed to an increase in the traveling. So what we then did was to reprioritize from traveling expenditure to communication expenditure, mainly under the small item of the data. And when it comes to change the outsourced services, the agency and its outsourced services mainly share is under the program of incarceration. And what we are paying for there is a contractual obligation for the two partnerships that we have, one to the center in Mahawu and the other one it is in Limpopo. So that agency as a support services that we have to base on the contract. And remember the 50, which is the repayment of the two facilities. Both of them have been fully paid by the government. So what we are now paying for is the operational fee to keep the offenders that are in those two triple P. So basically, per annum, we're looking at around 1.2 billion for the just over 5,000 offenders that are housed in those two triple P checks. If you have to look at the under expenditure check, in 2020 as a change of faith in 2021. We will not by any means share time to justify it, but that's the year of COVID. Then if you have to look at this cluster, where one of the best, even worse, the best performer when it comes to effort expenditure, as underspending by half a billion, while our counterpart underspending, I know that it was over 4 billion or so. And defense as well was a lot of money over the years as well. But we have consciously look at our performance as a department, and this 21-22 financial year, there is a great improvement in terms of our under expenditure. So we don't think that we still deal with the financial statement, and will be subject to the audit processes by ASCA, but we will be looking at about 400 under expenditure. These are similar figures that we have currently, and after audit we will then be able to present accordingly in our annual report. But we are not expecting more than 50 million under expenditure, which will translate to just 1% of the voted adjusted allocation for the department. And that in 2021, the 569 million was about 2.2%. So effectively, there is a great improvement if we have to compare them with the two financial years on the But we will continue, by no means are we to justify any form of under expenditure. If you look, it's no longer in the ATT. In our operational allocation, our target that is set for ourselves when it comes to under expenditure as a department is that we should underspend by a quarter of the percentage, which is 0.5%. So anything about that, we do then communicating with the relevant program managers, the relevant budget holders, so it will ensure that there are intervention plans that are put. And when program managers are not spending, we do inform the tax chain to relevant a program in line with the principle of the FMA, as we've done also this current financial year, and we do an international salary, and we do report accordingly when it comes to the any shifting of funds that the accounting officer would then effect. Regarding the hiring out of vendor labor, we put 94 chain, we moved away as a department from hiring out of vendor labor to private parties, as you mentioned, farmers and so forth. We hiring out mostly our vendor labor to other government entities, other government departments. For example, if staff need a police station to be cleaned, wooden out, and whatever, but in services, those are the services that we and mostly we interact within the government space and not necessarily with private entities. But if you need to run our open and labor, to some government pipeline, we do then charge the rate like in our current structure and the department, and all that revenue that we are collecting for hiring out of the labor is then centralized to the national revenue fund. So our offenders, even when we utilize them for offender labor outside our premises, they do get placed in line with their structure, because they do have different levels of the working force according to their wage, which is basically per hour of the services that they deliver. And that's part of what when we then say want to take any that we are gaining from hiring or from offender labor, that will also include the hiring of offender labor, so that we can then ensure that we supplement more of our investment in that space, and also are able to pay better for the future to our offender labor. I think I'll come to the question.
Okay, CDC, continue.
Thank you. Good morning, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee, the Honorable Minister, the Honorable DM, through the Acting National Commissioner, Mr. Sam Chovakale. My name is Chief Deputy Commissioner Cynthia Ramli, who I'll be responding on the human resource. With regards to the first question on the disability, I'd like to indicate that the National Commissioner Acting, Mr. Samuel Takoti, has approved the disability program which we have submitted also to the Ministry for Women and Persons with Disability. In terms of the program, the action plan that has been developed for the financial year, it includes the improvement of empowerment through the training of persons with disability, the support in terms of the tools of trade, the infrastructure improvement in terms of the ramp and housing of persons with disability. Amongst other, there is going to be also a national conference for persons with disability that will be led by our acting national commissioner with all the regional commissioners. We are also ensuring that there is participatory model of all the persons with disability in terms of managing the relationship between how we've been supporting all the officials within the correctional service that are persons with disability. And that program, we are reporting on a quarterly basis to our MENCO. That report, we also have the action plan that has been developed that will also include the interaction that we have already had with the persons with disability in line with striving to reach the target of 7%, which has been set for various departments with disability. We are making sure that we are addressing all the challenges in terms of empowerment and training. The second question had to do with the youth, which in terms of our indicator on the EPP, the inclusion of the youth and special programs for the categories within the youth, we are at 20%. The reason why we are at 20%, in line with the structure, in terms of the available positions, after the immediate training that we'll be embarking on, immediately the position that will be able to absorb them is about 1,425, which means that if we train 1,425 in our organizational structure, in terms of the funding on the HRPP tool, we will be able to absorb the youth on a total of 1,125. That is a great chance of a biannual target of 20%, which will be able to have 20% per quarter until the end of the quarter, in line with the approved budget. The second third question has to do with the financial disclosure. We are having a total of 172 senior SMSs. Out of the senior SMSs, to date we are that we have a total of 109 SMSs that have submitted and completed their financial disclosure on the online system of PPSA. Only three that have not completed. And the reason for the three, one is suspended. We are currently facilitating through the channels of exchanging of documentation to request that the official should be able to submit the disclosure of financial in the DPSA. And the second two is as a result that they were not able to meet the deadline, and there is consequence management application right now, which we are currently in applying for the two senior officials that has not completed. So we have, in terms of record, 169 SMSs that have submitted their disclosure. With regards to the vacancies, the last question, I'd like to confirm that on our last address dated the 18th of March, which through the ACNC, we previously made a commitment that there will be advert of senior. One of the positions that was advertised was the City Deputy Commissioner of Chito, and that position is also in progress in terms of the recruitment processes, which is currently on the approval processes for the filling in terms of the shortlisting and the process thereof. And the second part of the question was in relation to the Regional Commissioner of Eastern Cape. That position is also has the submission be submitted for the approval of the aspect in terms of the filling of such a position. So I just want to indicate that the department is in the process of making sure those senior two positions are filled in terms of the target for quarter one. Those were the few questions that I need for HR. Thank you through acting and teacher consent. Thank you.
Thank you. Honourable Chair, I think the apologies to the ACAP for initial discussion. On the question of the designated groups regarding the center, the designated groups, which includes the women, people with disabilities, and black people, in terms of the potential security in terms of anything that we awide anything about the regulatory representation of particular
thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. There are two questions that are left. One of those has to do with the matric pass rate, the number of matriculants who wrote the exams in the previous financial year was 191. In terms of the increase on figures with regards to special diet, this is caused by applications from the offenders themselves, either on medical reasons or on the spiritual reasons in terms of their beliefs. Those the applications are considered and then processed. With regards to Magnus Berry's escape, there was an escape of 68 remand cases that was in the financial year 2021. From Median B in Malmasville. This is a facility that is a very old facility. The security breaches were caused by the infrastructure itself. So we had to reinforce security at Median B in terms of the facility itself. And since then, we have not had escapes there. All the 68 offenders that escaped were rearrested. In the same financial year, we also had three escapes at Median A, and also this had to do with the facility itself with regards to components and functioning and the security, and all those three were rearrested. We recently had another escape of three inmates from Median A again, and also this had to do with the reinforcement that we then had to do on the physical security with regards to the infrastructure. Out of the three, two of the inmates were rearrested. We are left with one inmate. We are working with the security cluster to track down, and we also went to the community where the inmate is coming from to conscientize the community, and we're working together with community members to ensure that we rearrest the offender. Unnatural death, the categories are as follows. There are those that are caused by suicide, either through hanging or an overdose of the medication that is administered or provided to offenders. In some instances, offenders and these are very few cases where they put together wires and they end up being able to set on fire their cells. And I'm saying these are very few cases because they are not allowed to keep matches or anything that can cause fire, so they really have to struggle very hard to get to that point. But we are on a daily basis on watch and ensuring that we work to reduce this security incidents that are very unfortunate. The last part of answering the question is had to do with the targets that are needed to be explained, and I'm going to request that the Deputy Commissioner responsible for planning, Ms. Andy Gay later, then deal with that part. That will be in brief, Honourable Chairperson.
Thank you, Acting National Commissioner, and good morning to the Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, members of the Portfolio Committee, CDCs, and all protocol observed. Just to answer the questions regarding the targets, the first question that was raised on overcrowding, it is correct that the special parole dispensation has resulted in a reduction of the inmate population. However, it must also be noted that the department is losing bed spaces on an annual basis. We've lost about 2,000 bed spaces over the last financial year due to our verification exercise and also due to dilapidation of infrastructure. And due to the loss of the bed spaces, as well as the increase in the inmate population that we have been seeing, the target for overcrowding was of 28% was actually not achieved. We achieved 31% overcrowding. So the target for the 22-23 financial year has therefore increased to 32% in line with our performance for 21-22. Then the next question that was raised was on the situational analysis and the discussions that we have with Department of Women, Youth and People with Disabilities. Yes, that is true. We have frequent engagement with the Department of Women, Youth, People with Disabilities, also at the planning level for our strategic plan and APP. And based on their guidance, within all of our targets, we try to assign portion of that to women, youth, and people with disabilities, so that especially in our rehabilitation and our reintegration program, that we prioritize women, youth, and people with disabilities, we mainstream them. In terms of the target that was mentioned for the youth, in 2021, we had a high performance on youth appointments because of the SANDF reservists that we appointed in that financial year. Subsequent to that, in the 21-22 financial year, we had about 112 youth that were appointed out of the 314 appointments, which translates into 35%. And looking at the current budget constraints and moratoriums that are being placed on recruitment, the target that we are aiming to achieve, or in fact, if we do exceed it for 22-23, would be 20%, and we are comfortable that that's the performance that we'll be able to achieve. In terms of people with disabilities, we were targeting over the five-year period to achieve between 1 to 2% of people with disabilities. However, due to the environment, the DCS environment, currently we're only achieving about 0.78%. So we are standing at 306 people with disabilities. Ideally, we would like to increase that over the five-year period to 1 to 2%. So that must also be prioritized in the employment equity plan. The question on tenders awarded to designated groups, according to our SCM policy and the TID in the APP, people with Black people, women and youth, people with disabilities are all classified as designated groups. So we are awarding bids of over 30 million to designated groups for the 2021-22 financial year. We've actually achieved 67% performance on that. So that was an improvement from the previous financial year. The next question was on escapes. So our target day of 0.031. Over the, we'll see that the target actually reducing over the medium term for escapes. The department has reported good performance for 21-22. We've actually only recorded 22 escapes, which is 0.015%. And we are intending to reduce that number over the financial year by improving our security measures. Then I think the answer on grade 12 was provided by the National Commissioner. I apologize if I missed anything because I got cut off at some point, but I think those are the ones that I wanted to respond to, Acting National Commissioner. Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson, that's where we will end with providing the responses to the questions that were posed. Thank you for giving us the opportunity.
Thank you very much to National Commissioner and to your team for your responses. Members, are there any follow-ups? Also, bear in mind that you have received a presentation and responses from Correctional Services. You have received presentations and responses from JIPS. Are there any issues that you think as a member are overlapping? Maybe they need clarity that you would want to ask. Can I take it that all members are satisfied with the responses received from both? You have Honorable Janji. Honorable Janji.
No, thanks, Chair. I think before you close the meeting, I just wanted to, so that we don't get load shedded, to check a few, two things. The devolution of funds from public works. I just wanted to check if the department has planned for this. It's one thing to receive these funds, it's something else that you have a forward planning in your department, so that when we ask you next time, you're not going to tell us in 6 months' time or in a year that you didn't have a plan of receiving these funds that have been devolved from public works. We've seen that as a fashion in many departments, including justice, where people wait for things to end and then they start thinking at the end what to do. You know, it's like, and I don't want to use this example, but it's a proper example. Maybe I'll use it at the end. It's poor planning. So I saw them making this and this number of how much this financial year and so on. But I'm not able to connect that devolution of funding with their plans and targets and indicators. Because certainly money is devolved back to you who would influence your planning. But I missed it. I just couldn't see it and connect with that share. So that's only clarity. And perhaps you just asked Chair in their response. Sometimes their response are longer than their first presentation, so they can just be precise and respond to the issue. There's a last issue I wanted to check, Chair, outside of the presentation that you can ask the Acting Commissioner to share with us whether this is true, that we have the news that in the Mangaung cell, one notorious inmate has been found dead. There's mentioning of fire and that he was alone in this cell. And this would have happened yesterday. So can the National Commissioner confirm that, whether he is aware of what are the circumstances and what is being put in place in that regard. Just those two, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Janchi. Honorable Ramulubeng, I'm not sure whether your question was answered about that prison that was built in Limpopo and there are no facilities for staff. Maybe it was during that time I was locked out. Was that question answered? Commissioner, was it answered?
Chairperson, since that I am also keen to know that question, can it be repeated the answer if it was given? I didn't get it myself. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister.
Honorable Chairperson, I request that we give Dr. Buosa the opportunity to answer the question. In his answer, he did talk to the question. Dr. Buosa?
Thank you, National Commissioner. Also, greetings to my Deputy Minister. Apology, Deputy Minister, I didn't greet you initially. This is an apology from my side. Yes, Chairperson, as indicated, when we diversified the procurement strategy, we went through a process of consulting with the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, but also with the other implementing agents. So, for example, one of our approaches was where projects is in execution currently with the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, and we are fairly satisfied with the progress. For example, if you look at the Parys and Burgersdorp project that I mentioned, so that those projects we haven't devolved or adopted from the Department of Public Works. We mainly focused on projects where there was no movement from the Department of Public Works Infrastructure, especially when you look at maintenance projects. So we went through that process, and I think in terms of this process that we actually started last financial year, we can already see the successes. For example, like I mentioned, last financial year, our expenditure on maintenance was around 97%. So we went through a consultation process. I think one of the issues is that the commissioner also indicated we shouldn't adopt something that we cannot do ourselves. So even with the implementing agents and also in-house projects, we looked at previous practices to see will it be feasible to adopt some of these projects, and then we went through that process of consultation with the relevant stakeholders. But I think at this stage we're comfortable that we will be in a position to have better expenditure, but also, most important, the better project implementation and execution. Thank you, National Commission. Thank you, Chairperson.
Mr. Bada, you have not answered the question. The question is, in Limpopo, there is a correctional facility that was built, and there are no facilities for prison officials. Remember, usually in a correctional facility, there'll be a correctional facility and then there'll be houses in that facility for correctional facilities, for correctional officers. The question is that, are you aware about that? And then why was the project approved without such facilities? Or is it a new standard that in the new prisons that you build, you don't build facilities for correctional officers?
Thank you, Chairperson. In terms of Zanin, when we started with the planning and design, I think what's worth noting is that correctional center was built on an existing state-owned facility. There was previously a corrugated structure there. So we actually built a new facility on that existing site. But one of the challenges that we experienced actually during the planning and design, but also during the construction, there was inability from the municipality to supply adequate water electricity supply. So at that stage, when we looked at the bulk services that the municipality will be able to supply to that specific site, it was not conducive to add additional accommodation on that facility. So that is why the decision was taken at that site at that time, that to add additional infrastructure, then we will sit with a shortage of water and electricity supply. So the priority was at that stage was to phase out that corrugated infrastructure there with a new facility. But obviously, in terms of the longer plan, there is a plan to look at provisioning of staff accommodation at that existing site. So we're in constant communication with the municipality to see how we can do it, and also to look at the upgrade of the current bulk services to the to that specific site. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Members, are you? Are there any other questions? Commissioner?
Yes. Honorable Chairperson, there was a question from the Chairperson of the subcommittee on the issue of an unnatural death that has been reported of an inmate in Mangaung Correctional Center. I would like to confirm that the deceased offender is Thabo Bester, who has been notoriously known as the Facebook rapist.
Yes.
I would just like to confirm that we are finalizing the investigation preliminary in terms of what exactly happened, but he was in an isolation cell, and he passed on due to a fire that was started in the cell. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Janji. Over to you. Can you wrap up and give us the way forward as the chair of the subcommittee?
No, Chair, there's nothing. I think you have done it, and I'm avoiding that we get load shedded, but I would be listening quite attentively, Chair, and picking up all the issues. Obviously, you're listening to a proposition, promise put forward by the department. This is what they are saying they're going to do. And there's always not much to do when people are making their own vows, declarations, and commitments about what they are going to do. The beauty of it is that we'll be watching them, and we're going to be monitoring. So obviously there are gaps, Chair, that we are, as a subcommittee, going to pick up in terms of the issues that are being put forward. Certainly, we are going to follow this issue of the devolution of funds from the public works, because public works does quite a number of things, including around facilities and other things. Would have loved to see. It seems that they have not, the plans and targets are not indicating that yet. You know, this transition, even in pilot, of these kind of security features and projects that a DCS would be taking over. We have an example in Kalakabusha. So again, one was looking at the plans here that are indicating that there is a link between that, so that it was not just a once-off thing we're told and we can't see it going forward. And so we'll be watching all of those things going forward as the subcommittee. And we'll take some of the issues that came from the JICS discussion, including the session with the NCCS. I have not much to say except that we hope that what the department, through the leadership of the DM and acting commissioner, have presented to us a credible plan in the form of these APPs, because that's what counts for us. We're no longer in a space of tick the box, of malicious accountability. Come and do this as if we'll go away. We will be with them. And we will be monitoring and oversighting whether what they've said here today will be credible. This is kind of looking forward as we're going to be doing quarterly sessions and so on. And this is hopefully is a break with what we're going to get later in the year in the form of annual report. So I just wanted to make those few comments, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chancellor. Dilly Zintaba.
Thank you very much once again. We can only commit, Chairperson and Honorable Members, to ensuring that the plan that we have presented to you is a plan that is going to be implementable. When it becomes impossible for some reason or other for the plan to be implemented and give the results that are desired, we shall definitely have reasons as to why it is not working. Because we have had sufficient time to look at what failed in the past APPs, so that we are able, therefore, to improve and avoid what happened in the past. For example, Chairperson, the construction of a facility such as the one that was constructed in Sanin during a period, as I understand it, when the white paper was calling for the switch from a prison environment to an environment of rehabilitation and eventual social integration of the offenders. There's no way that it can be justified that there will be no accommodation for officials, because that is standard. The officials have to be readily available in case there's an outbreak of some unrest or another in our centers. Those kinds of things cannot be allowed. Also, on the question of the integrated security systems, it's not acceptable that where we had automatic systems of opening and closing the doors, we suddenly find ourselves now systems not working, and we end up having to use padlocks and those kinds of things. The escapes that are happening, even if in the past year they were about 22 only, that is an embarrassing state of affairs in itself. We shouldn't be having those kinds of things. It says a lot to the conduct of our officials as well as the integrated security systems that we have. They need to be improved upon. We are very much hopeful as the ministry that the takeover of the maintenance and repairs work by ourselves using the institutions that have been mentioned here, as well as the offender labor, is going to make sure that we improve on the maintenance of our facilities, including the kitchens and those kinds of things that you would have found to be leaving a lot to be desired. So thank you once again, Chairperson and Honorable Members, for affording us this opportunity to come and share with you what you plan to do to improve the service that you have to render, and also giving us some guidance in terms of the questions that you have elevated us. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. Thank you to Judge Cameron and members of JICS, and thank you to the Commissioner and his team for the presentation of the budget and the APPs of both the JICS and the Department of Correctional Services. Thank you, DM, for availing yourself even under difficult times of load shedding. Thank you very much, colleagues. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.